Lady Ballers.
Welcome back. We're Soccer Props.
And it's game time.
And we're rolling.
We're live.
We're live and we're back doing another episode. What are we talking about today?
Getting your cord uncaught from your chair.
We have like the longest mic cords in here.
We sure do.
Not to brag.
Yeah, right? Bragging. Your cord's the longest and the fastest.
All right, we're talking about injuries today, right?
We sure are.
We have a special
guest. Just jumping right into it. You didn't even ask how I was.
How are you doing? Shannon ran a marathon this past weekend.
Yeah.
How are those legs feeling?
I have huge balls on my hamstrings.
Okay. I was hoping she would finish that sentence.
Yeah. But I had a really nice masseuse named Janelle really go at them. So shout out to you, Janelle. I don't know if you listen. Highly doubt it.
Do your calves get sore?
Oh, yeah.
That's what is wrecked for me when I go too far is like ankles and calves.
Ugh.
I really felt for you guys because the weather was god awful all across the East Coast. Like every person that ran was running in a freaking river.
It just reminds you how hard soccer was. Like when you'd playing in the rain is fun, but when it's like windy,
yeah, it's awful.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Also,
I never really liked it that much to begin with.
Yeah.
Well,
a light drizzle.
I feel like I was supposed to like it.
Yeah.
So
everyone else loves it. Why don't I love playing in the rain?
No, there's levels because like I think the light drizzle is nice because it cools you off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can play the ball and it will actually like, you know, you can get past a goalkeeper pretty easily when you hit
it. Oh, can you? Another brag. Two brags.
I also scored 0 goals my senior year.
Stop.
All right. But anyway, then there's the hard like horizontal rain that just pelts your eyeballs.
Yeah. You can't even see because it's coming directly at you.
Hail. That's the tough one.
You still
that
play.
That hurts.
You
hail
still
is
play.
Wild. But I also, this past weekend, had, like, the worst braid, like, the wet braid. I haven't had, like, a wet braid
in
so long. I was in the shower. I wanted to get, like, that, like, L'Oreal detangler because I couldn't believe. I'm like, this is it. This is stuck like this. Like,
it's
I had
one
dreads.
Dread.
You seriously, you either think about cutting your hair off.
Yeah,
or
I did.
Or what? You take hours to detangle
hours.
It?
So much. Like,
it's
and
scary.
Then the shower is filling, and I'm like, oh, because all of my hair is in the drain. I just lost half of the hairs on my head.
I have a question. Do you stop and fix your hair during a marathon? Because I literally don't think I could do it without stopping several times to fix my hair.
I did not because it was... It
so
was
knotted
in
on
the
there.
One braid.
And also, would it
and
matter
I had a
if
hat.
You fixed it because it would just fall out?
I stopped to pee once.
Wow.
Because it was raining,
so
I just pissed my pants.
There you go.
I didn't stop.
No one will ever know.
Except right now, after I told everyone.
Do you?
But what's the point? Did you ever pee yourself at like during a soccer game? I feel like people on our team definitely did that.
Yeah. Stark did running the mile.
No,
like,
I mean
so
in
proudly.
The rain. Like, did they just pee during the game? Because they're like... Like when it was torrential downpouring, I definitely didn't practice.
I don't know, because like if you're wearing white, you probably will see it.
No, I was hydrated, man.
Oh, that's good.
Do you ever take
my brag right there?
Do you ever take your ponytail out, but your hair stays exactly where it was without it in there holding?
Yep.
Oh God, my hair would do that right now if I did.
Oh my goodness. Well,
it has nothing to do with injuries.
Yeah.
Nothing. Oh, and the U.S. they have a new coach.
Oh, yes.
I know,
who can pronounce
crazy.
His name.
I was just going to say, I'm not even going to attempt it.
Let's see.
You know what's funny? I don't recognize him from anything.
Well, wasn't he the coach of the rain? Or
yeah.
But I just don't recognize him.
Like you
when
really
I saw
only
him, it really was a culture shock to me.
But think about it. Would you recognize Pia before
she
was a U.S. coach?
Well, we were also like 13.
Okay, or Jill Ellis, you know.
Thought, like,
his name is Latko Andovnovsky.
Very good.
Yeah, the players seem to really like and respect him, which is cool. Like they were putting quotes from each player.
They're sucking up about him right now.
Yeah.
But they say he's really invested in like letting them become the best player that they can be, which is really cool. Instead of like trying to like steer them to become his best player, he lets them actually like fulfill.
I love that. And he's also walking into success.
Yeah.
Two back to back.
Better not
champs.
Mess it up. So yeah, he was the coach of FC Kansas for 4 seasons, and in the last 2 seasons for the NWSL, he was the coach of the rain. Hence why all the pics of him and Rapinoe are
everywhere,
right?
You know what's cool for the rain players? They have more of a chance of getting pulled.
Or less of a chance.
That's true.
True.
That's
but
true.
Once again, soccer is very political, so
yeah.
It's not really that surprising,
I wonder how
right?
much of a say he has anyway.
I think he has a pretty good say.
Those two guys.
I feel like the organization picks who gets to come to the open.
This should be a reality show.
Yeah, I would love to see it.
Guys, I'm sorry, I'm distracted.
Maybe they'll have an HBO special on it. You know how they follow each NFL team? That would be really cool.
Like Hard Knocks.
We should pitch that.
We should pitch that.
That'd be cool.
I actually love the hockey one that they did. I forget what it was called. 24 or something. It's something.
I don't know.
Where, yeah, they follow the teams and you get to learn about their families and you just like fall in love with the players and the team.
Are you in love?
I'm telling Billy.
That's not what I meant. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm distracted because I keep looking over at the office and those two guys are in the same outfit.
And they're looking at you. Just made such eye contact with them. Did you see that?
They're direct. Wearing the same plaid.
I just looked into his soul and then looked away and then looked back into his soul again.
He can definitely hear me.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Still.
Well, I mean, I can't even judge because we all end up wearing the thing.
Not today.
The same thing.
We have yet to talk about injuries. Should we delve into
it? Sorry. All right, guys. Name your worst.
Name your top favorite injury.
I love every single injury I've ever had.
Name the worst injury you've ever had playing soccer.
For sure, herniating that disc in my back. That was the life ruiner.
Tell the fans.
Well, I was playing soccer, but I wasn't actually playing soccer when we were broad jumping on a basketball court for about
what
an
did
hour.
You tell your this was during
shout
soccer?
Out. What?
During soccer?
Yeah, during the off season, we were up on the basketball court, and I'm not even kidding you, we did broad jumps across this floor for 40 minutes, and I didn't hurt
were
at the moment.
Were we on the team?
I feel like we did something like that.
No, because I don't know if you guys were, because we definitely were not allowed to do it again because I wasn't the only one that got hurt.
Well,
I
you
just
know
got hurt
when
the
you
worst.
Hear a story so much you think you were there?
Yes.
I feel like you've told
especially
us this,
with you
so
guys.
That's why I remember you like being in someone's car and you couldn't drive yourself or something, but I don't think I actually was there.
Walk into the locker room when you couldn't stand up.
Oh, so then this was something you were part
of. But
wasn't
that your shin splints?
No, my back. I literally went.
Oh, so maybe we were there then.
Oh,
or maybe
God.
did it happen multiple times?
No, this was a one-time deal. But it didn't happen at the practice. I went home, and the next day, I guess all of that impact. I wasn't the only. A lot of people's backs hurt, but my disc actually went out.
That's insane.
I'm not even kidding. You crawled on my hands and knees down the steps
in my
house. I got in my car, which I don't recommend anyone ever doing.
You called the ambulance.
I drove so crooked. I was like seated sideways with my toe on the gas and I drove to the rec center and I got in the locker room and I literally fell in the hallway and I was like, somebody helping Chris Hageman pick me up like a small child and put me in the training room.
Chris.
So yes.
It was so scary though. Like that back injury.
I had just never experienced that before. And I literally,
so what did they do for it?
I had to go on a ton of muscle relaxers and like retractions,
crazy.
Like where they like elongate you, I guess. So the disc can go back in, but like
so
I couldn't get my legs to work.
That?
No, it was all physical therapy based. And if that didn't work, I would have had surgery. But luckily it worked.
Thank
but
God.
Oh, I know. I was like, I can't get my legs to walk me.
I forget how long were you out
for? God,
from
6
soccer?
Months.
Oh
that's
my
crazy.
God.
Yeah. So I don't think we were there. I don't know.
I remember. I was so scared for her because she couldn't stand up.
Yeah, and Courtney Riley was there.
Yeah.
Who would be one more year above. So I feel like you guys were there, but I don't know. I was out for a long time.
That's crazy.
But it was definitely during our off season.
Oh, so summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Oh, my gosh. I can't.
Good times.
Good times.
What about you guys?
So what did you do to prevent that? Just not do that. I guess that's a unique injury, right?
And then that was an injury as a result of not working out very smartly.
Right.
Mm. Our workout of the day wasn't the greatest decision for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, it took me probably a few years to actually come back like confidently. Like I refused to back squat. I refused to push weight over my head because I was so scared I was going to do it again. Every time I moved weird, I was like.
That was a question I wanted to bring up. Like, how do you face the fear of an injury after?
God.
It's such a good question.
And I still don't know if my fear was like justified or not. Like, if I should have been babying myself or not. I think I definitely mentally babied myself for way longer than I had to.
Yeah.
Did you?
It's like a fine line of being a baby and not babying enough. You know, like, how do you, like.
Because I was like, God forbid I do this to myself again. The same way with, like, an ACL tear kind of thing. God forbid you're like, if I step wrong and I have to do this all over again. So for, forever, I would not.
Yeah.
And I love to back squat. Like, I love heavy weights and all that. I did not for so long.
Yeah. But maybe that was smart.
Yeah, it was probably for the better. And now, like, yeah. I can
especially as, like, a college soccer player, you know, how much yeah. do you really have to back squat? Probably yeah. not that
totally
much.
Have no fear of it now.
Yeah, that's well, great.
It just took me a long
you
time.
You bring up such a good point, because if you are really scared to go in, you probably will get hurt. Because yeah. you're timid. You're not,
yes,
like...
Yes, you're tensed
yeah.
up.
Yeah, and it's, like, you really have like to find that crash. Fine balance. It's, like, I'm being a baby or I'm really not ready yet.
Well, you were, right? Weren't you nervous after your ACL?
So... I tore my ACL my junior year of high school, and I took my time to come back. I wasn't really rushing to come back because I actually committed, and I was like, I felt comfortable.
You were one of the lucky
yeah,
ones.
You
yeah,
were.
This is what happened. I tore my ACL, and then Jim saw me and was like, come to campus. I want to show you around. And I didn't
You're
tell
like
him
limping.
That my ACL was torn. I was limping, and he said, what happened? And I said, I hurt my knee.
Oh.
And he goes, do you know what it is? And I said, I don't know. I had to take the elevator everywhere. I couldn't move. And then I left, committed, and then I told him I tore my ACL.
I'm surprised he didn't hold that against you.
No, you know what's funny? He was like, I had a feeling because he couldn't walk. And I honestly, I just got so lucky because if I didn't.
I am impressed with your balls.
Yeah.
My mom, you know me.
She
I'm
was
like such
you,
a scaredy cat.
Don't you fucking
She yeah. goes, don't you say a word because you'll lose the
score. Wow.
Like, I can't. So anyway. I took my time, and
that's
which
wild.
I was happy I did, but I also remember going in, and I was like, am I ready? And they gave me the brace to play in.
Yeah, you just showed me a picture of that. That's
the
yeah,
robo
it's like you're
con
like, they
brace.
Call me robot woman or whatever, because you feel like a robot. You have it from like your
we
ankle
were saying
all
like
way up
that,
to your head.
They really don't even use those anymore so much.
They don't.
But no, it's the depends on your doctor.
I
yeah.
see
people
I see knee replacement
still do.
People
yeah.
have it. I've
yeah.
just
but, a lot. But mine, I was like, no brace at all.
Yeah. Well, that's it crazy. Also made me feel comfortable mentally. And then I wore
yeah.
it for like a month, and probably too long, but I wore it for a month, and then I was like, okay, I don't fucking
yeah.
Did that thing?
I don't.
You're the literal worst.
Did that scrape your? did that like scrape up your leg wearing that?
No, but I used to get like rashes.
Oh my god! I would imagine I would
yeah.
clip my own knees
oh,
together.
Oh yeah,
that thing. Forget
people
it.
People didn't want to play against me because it would hurt them.
Yeah. Oh, that's
I remember
a good
like having that when people broke their arms. I don't know if you're allowed to have
Wait,
a hard cast. That's kind
you're
of
not.
Ridiculous.
So you have to.
Yeah.
I had to. Oh, I broke my wrist.
Yeah,
when
I remember
I was
that.
Soccer, and they bubble wrapped it.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it's still like a weapon. But
oh,
I remember people
for
like
for sure.
Like it just depended on the ref.
It's like
now
a club.
The rules are more clear. But I used to like hate playing against people with those.
Yeah,
they could hit you in the head.
Yeah.
Knock you right out. It's actually not even a joke.
Yeah.
You guys had concussions, right?
Yes, I've had several concussions.
Yeah, how many have you had?
I've had 5 medical concussions.
Oh my god.
That?
I'm probably had way more
undiagnosed.
That's scary.
Which is really scary. But
what it, so what happened? Like what was like how did you get hit for some of them? Like
well, one of them when I was playing high school basketball, that was probably the worst one.
Oh,
I hit my head against
the
court and
yeah.
it bounced
oh,
and I blacked out and
my.
Then I projectile vomited.
So that's you
don't
even
know
need
what?
To go to the doctor to know that that's
But
a
even then, like I remember I was out a week and all my teammates were so mad at me because I was sitting on the sideline. And they're like, she's fine, you know? And it's like, guys,
you're
do
like,
you not
this
remember?
Is my brain.
Like,
is
but it gets to you. So, like, I understand people have concussions because it's not an injury that you can see.
Yeah.
You feel that way, and maybe some of your teammates feel that way. Like, she should be out here, mm-hmm. you know? Like, but it's one of the most, like,
dangerous
yeah. injuries you can have. And
it's your
so,
brain. It's your brain.
And it's so common in females, like, female soccer players mm-hmm. have
yeah.
it.
I was just reading a study. I think they were saying how they did like a study of people who had concussions and then they gave them testing.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that like a lot of them tested poorly on attention tests.
Yeah,
oh, for sure.
But they did the same on like education and stuff. It wasn't that, but it was more like ADD stuff,
oh,
which
I
thought was interesting.
100% believe
yeah.
that. But remember we used to, like, I remember once when I had one in college, I had to take those tests.
Do you remember the concussion protocol?
It was
oh.
so ridiculous. It was really hard.
The test was, first off, it was hard unconcussed.
Guys, I probably failed it and I never had a concussion.
If anyone has ever taken the concussion protocol, they have you take it before, like when you're a healthy player and then God forbid you get one during the season, they'll have you take it to kind of test if you're back to where you were
yeah.
before. But this thing was like a lot of focusing, even when you're perfectly healthy.
Like
I
harder
can't even,
than the SATs.
Oh my God. And it was so
yeah,
long. It
was
like 45 minutes long. Do you
yeah.
remember that? Oh
yeah,
my
then
God.
Then you're just like failing on purpose so you can yeah. finish, right? You're just like Scantron, oh. everything is safe.
When the boxes move around the screen, I'm like, I'm just going to throw up right now. I can't look at this.
But I feel like until that until that concussion movie. I'm trying to Google what it was. Do you remember the NFL concussion movie?
I think that
opened up a lot of people's eyes. It was literally called Concussion.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
But I feel like it opened a lot of people's eyes to like what it really does, because it's based on true stories of players, and it's really sad and scary, like what happens to people who have
in the long term, like when you're done thinking about them because they don't play soccer anymore, how it's actually affecting their lives.
Really sad.
Even if you think about when we were kids, like we were allowed to head the ball a million times as young, growing up children, regardless of how developed our brains were. And now, at that age, a lot of the girls I train, I'll be like, are you allowed to do headers? And they say, no, they're not allowed yet.
What's the age you can start?
I don't know. I want to say it's like in the 12-ish area.
Yeah.
But I mean,
that Brandy, when we Brandy were playing with Brandy, she didn't want any of the kids we were playing with to have the ball.
What is her thing called? We should give it a shout out, remember?
We'll put it in the description. But, yeah, I know that Brandy has donated her brain to science. Michelle Akers has. A lot of athletes have done that, which is great, but it's still going to take a long time to find out any answers.
Yeah.
And it's probably not going to be good answers, right? Like, it's probably going to make things worse for a lot of sports.
Yeah, God. A lot of athletes, even across a lot of sports, have donated their brains, so I'm very curious.
But unfortunately, like, it's really hard to play soccer without your head, right? I wonder how many concussions Abby has had.
Probably
she was like the head, the best header, since Michelle Akers. Like, she was amazing with her head. Carly Lloyd, she uses her head so much.
I just looked it up. Brandy, she started a campaign called No Header, No Brainer.
That's what it was.
And it eliminates heading for kids under 14.
Yeah. Okay.
Which 14. Is actually pretty old. I would have thought it was like at least maybe 12.
Yeah. Or your brain's still growing, I guess. Yeah. Probably for a while after. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know any science.
We don't know anything. But you know what? It's a good guess.
Yeah. So would you say ACL's was your worst?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, because the rehab, the 6 month long rehab was, and being out of the game, like I truly, but you know what was cool for me? I feel like I was depressed for maybe a week, but then I realized how much I love soccer and how badly I wanted to get back, and that's it kind of just like fueled my recovery.
And you had a scholarship waiting for you, so that was kind of nice too.
Yeah, like I mean, I really
that's like a good motivation,
but it's also stress. I'm sure
took off a lot of stress.
Now, do you know how many girls get their scholarships taken away because they do things like tear their ACLs? That's why that's such a cool story. I don't know how I never knew that about you either.
Well, I wasn't really
talking about it.
It's out of the vault now. You can't put Pandora back in the box.
I know,
right?
But
sorry, Jim.
Yeah, and would you say it was the same for you too?
No, because I was after college.
That's
so
true.
It didn't.
That's true.
Take
you know,
as
like
much.
It didn't affect my soccer career. Well, now because I want to go professional.
Well, Shannon, you had some.
Well, no, I think that was probably the most nagging, because I never had like a nagging injury. Like I know so many people had to get their ankles taped all the time.
Yeah.
I never had like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when my arches, like that whole like, I mean, still they suck.
Why don't you explain that to everyone?
Yes. Plantar fasciitis is like when you have a lacrosse ball in your arch. And it just flares up so much. It makes like every step you take so painful. And I had to get cortisone shots like every 5 months. And I remember wearing those dumb socks during preseason that would tie your foot back. And I looked I looked like an elf running down the hall, going to the bathroom in the middle of the night. But that stuff, it's actually more common than you'd think.
And then
like
you
a lot
needed
of
surgery. People
had, because the one ripped in our,
and
when we were in the playoffs, my left arch ripped.
Oh my God.
So my foot was, it looked like muscle was just hanging on the bottom of my foot.
I'm sorry.
So then
this
I was
is really gruesome.
So uneven when I would stand, it was like a 2-inch difference. So then they had to cut the other one.
I remember watching him tape you in the training room, because I think we literally spent our lives in that training room. Yeah. But he would like tape around your toe and like
yank it,
pull your toe up and tape it. I was like, that looks like the most uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Listen,
I don't know how that tape job. I don't know.
Soccer players are freaking tough. How are we doing this to ourselves, and then managing to try and play well?
Yeah, but I mean, nagging injury wise, you just have to take care of it as much as you can, right? Doing all the right things.
Yeah.
So that you don't get
have a
worse injury, right?
We spoke about this last episode, I think, but we really are harping on the fact that you guys need to rest. Like, if you have an injury like that, like, doing more is not going to make it better.
Yeah, God, we get so scared of missing a practice or missing a week of practices. Yeah. And if I could go back and just literally let myself miss a week of practice so I didn't have to miss months.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I used to, like, literally my brain couldn't, not allow myself to miss one. Like, how dumb is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's not entirely our fault. Like, I feel like we
a
were
a lot
like,
of it's our fault.
Pressured. But I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's the way we all perceived the stress.
The
of
competitive environment of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're like, if you I'm out a week, someone else is going to take my spot, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, but God. Probably not going to happen. Instead, you're going to be out the whole season, you know?
Yeah. You'd rather take a week off rather than three months
yeah,
off.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And then it's the other side of like not babying it too much. Like what, how do you know? But just like everything we say, you have to know yourself and your body, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And if you're ever like questioning, just go get an X-ray and an MRI.
Because do it right away. Do it right.
Like, great don't results is that you get negative results and you nothing's wrong, and then you're like, all right, I know that I'm babying it a little bit too hard. But if you wait and wait and wait, then they MRI you and you're a disaster.
Yeah.
I remember in high school when I tore my ACL, my trainer said that I can go back in the second half, and my knee was the size of my head.
Oh my
so
God.
I was like, I'm gonna go to the doctor and get a freaking MRI. Like, it's crazy. I do think that you guys need to understand the difference between a coach just like trying to push you and somebody who is just uneducated.
Well, I went to a doctor and he told me I didn't tear my ACL.
So and then a week later,
I was like, no, I'm going to need that MRI. And then the MRI tech's not supposed to tell you anything. And she's like, do you have crutches? And I'm like, so you just told me.
Yeah, basically just told me.
Thanks.
See, that's a good point.
I think you should always get a second opinion, like, no matter what. Because, you don't want just, you know, like, it's hard.
Well, think about it. Doctors are humans. You make mistakes.
Yeah.
And some people overlook things and they don't realize it. And sometimes doctors go back and they relook at the results and then they see it differently.
True.
So just understand that. Like, no one's perfect. It can happen, but be smart about it.
Yeah. And I mean, luckily, a lot of us have health insurance, especially when we're in high school and college, which is really nice.
Use your parents' health insurance until you possibly can.
It won't last.
Until you're 26.
It won't last forever.
26. My language.
27. You're right. Okay. Sorry.
Sorry.
Health insurance. What a beautiful thing when you have it.
Seriously.
What an awful thing when you don't. That's for another day.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to call, speaking of injuries, we're going to call our friend Jordan. She was the creator of the ACL Club.
Her story is really actually incredible.
Yeah. So she, I mean, we'll ask her, you know, to give us like the lowdown on how she got started with it. But Jordan played at Santa Clara University, and then she was in the NWSL. She played on the Breakers, the Spirit, and the Flash. And now she's commentator and an analyst for the NWSL, the MLS, and U.S. Soccer. I mean, we saw her when we were at the World Cup. She was working for U.S. women's national team, which was so cool. Yeah. So she also was following them around France, which was pretty awesome. But yeah, she's a baller, and she has this amazing company that helps bring people together who have this injury that is way too common in soccer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So can't wait to talk to her.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's dance.
Let's phone her on it.
How are you? Good. How are you?
We're good. This is our first time doing this. Recording with a guest.
I know. I wish I lived in New York and could come hang with you guys like everybody else that gets to come. I'm like so jealous of those things.
Next time you're in town.
Okay. I will make that happen for sure.
Where are you located again?
I am in Denver, which it's snowing a lot right now.
Oh, I saw that. Oh yeah, they got a lot of snow.
Really? You guys. Yeah, it's not cool.
Well, do you ski and stuff or no?
What'd you say?
Do you go skiing or any hiking or anything?
I did growing up, and then once soccer, and like I played basketball and soccer, and then it was just too much, and then I got injured, and now I'm like, ooh, I never want to get injured again. So that's out of the cards.
Yeah, I actually know how you feel because when I got injured, our coaches would never let us go skiing or do anything crazy like that. So like I never got the experience.
Yeah. And now when we ski, we stink.
Now we're awful.
Yeah.
True.
And so I just think like, I mean, I could do it, and I hope like eventually if my kids want to do it, like I could probably ski with them. But I just, in the time being, I'm like, it's just not worth it. I don't really want to push myself.
You're being smart. You should just snowshoe. That's what Shan and I did.
I love snowshoeing.
There you go. So so you're going to go snowshoeing today?
Yeah, I'm going to probably just sit inside all day, to be real.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. Are you warmed up, Shannon, from your I'm run? It looked like it was kind of snowing there, too.
It felt like it was snowing. It was gross out. I'm really glad it's over.
What a mental, I mean, as if that's not hard enough, but to add that to it, like,
yeah,
I probably would have been like, I'm good.
I know.
The fact that you did it, really kudos to you.
I was just kind of like laughing about how funny it was, how terrible. So I think that helped. But, so thanks for chatting with us today.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So we were we were just giving a background, just a little bit about you, but we want to know, how did you start the club?
I started it when, gosh, I was like, it was between my last 2 years of playing, and I had just gotten traded to Buffalo, and I was like working on my own at I was juggling at this field by my house, and I just knew that like soccer was kind of nearing its end, and I also knew that like there was something there with ACL club that I could figure out, but I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And I was juggling, and it just kind of like hit me. It was like, just create a community. Like, so it's funny that it came to me in those moments of that we've all had, right? Like those were our moments to like escape and mm-hmm. and be in our own little world. And so I started, like, that's when the concept came to fruition. And then that summer when I was in Buffalo and living there and playing for the Western New York Flash, I like built the website and very minimalistic and bought some t-shirts and like got Becky Edwards and Kristen Hamilton and like all these people that I knew, at least on my team, to like take some photos. And yeah, I just kind of went from there.
It's kind of like how we started. Like it just popped up into your head just because it was something that other you and your teammates had in common, right? And a way to kind of make a community of it. So had you tore your ACL prior to that?
Yeah, so I had already at that point torn my ACL 3 times. Okay. And the name, you know, calling it the ACL club, it came to me because the time I tore my ACL the first time, I was sitting on my couch in college, and one of my teammates, Tina Estrada, who's now one of the assistant coaches at San Jose State University, she came over, and she had already torn her ACL twice at that point, one on each knee. And she came over to me like that afternoon and was chatting with me just about like what I was feeling and just sitting there with me. And I was kind of telling her where my knee hurt and like how it hurt in the back and the swelling and this and that. And she was like, and I hadn't gotten an MRI yet. But when you do it, you know.
You know.
Yeah, you just know. And she just said, well, kid, welcome to the club. And I was, like, furious. I remember just, like, feeling my blood boil and be like, I don't want to be in this club. How dare you? No. But then, yeah, I just understood after going through that rehab, like, it really is. Like, every single person on my team that had gone through it, like, they would come and see me in the training room and, like, give me a thumbs up when I was doing my workout by myself, or, you know, give me a hug in moments that were like celebratory for the team and it was hard for me. Like they just understood. And that's kind of what I wanted to pass on.
Yeah. I know. I mean, for me and Carly, when we tour our ACLs, you do sort of feel alone. And even though other people have gone through it, like it's nice to have a community of everyone who's had it happen also, kind of just to give you tips and support and everything, because it's physical, but it's a lot of mental too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things I think too is like we have been taught so much as athletes that like we have to push through things, like, oh, just push through the pain or rub some dirt on it and keep playing, or like oh, if it hurts and you can still play, then like still play. So we've created this like reaction in our brain where we're always pushing and pushing and pushing. And when you can't push in a injury like this, because it really is up and down, and you sometimes can't dictate when the next like down is coming or when the next high is coming. And it's really hard to sit in those moments and be like, this sucks. And like, I just want to cry and be okay with like not feeling like you're moving forward, but like letting those emotions out and expressing your emotions is actually a way to move yourself forward.
Yeah.
Totally. That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very curious because first of all, 3 ACLs. I mean, I can't even imagine. I tore my ACL once and it was the hardest 6 months of my life. So like, how did you get through it? How did you get through every single time? Like, you know?
Yeah. No, I often think that myself, Carly. I'm like, how did I do that? How did I don't know. Like, honestly, like, I know now, like, I believe in God, and I feel like God had a plan for me, and that the plan of me tearing my ACL in different ways has only set me up to then be empathetic to help people hopefully never go through what I go through, right? So, like, yeah. I felt like there were moments where I was down, like, mm-hmm. really down. Like, after my last ACL, I tore my ACL the first game of my second season, and I was with the national team, and it was a World Cup year, and I had just scored a goal, the first goal of WPS for that season, you know, like, riding high. Mm-hmm. And I tear my ACL, and everything in that moment is swept out from underneath me. And then you just walk off the field or get carried off the field, and the game goes on. Like, everything just keeps moving. And that was really hard for me because my life is falling apart. I'm in the locker room just like, mm-hmm. wow, I don't know what I'm going to do. And that recovery was definitely the hardest. Like, I remember having thoughts of like, what is this worth? Like, if I'm not a soccer player, who am I? Mm-hmm. Like, deep things that like were really hard. And, you know, I think I got through it because of my faith. I think I got through it because I built a team around me of people who believed in me as a human, not just believed in me as a soccer player and athlete, but like understood that I had the ability and the strength within to get through it. And that's like one of my biggest tips for people is like, choose your team, right? Mm-hmm. Choose those people that are around you. And if they don't understand, well, like part of what it is like, you have to help them understand and bring them into it, because the people that love you want to help, right?
Yep.
But they all also don't know how to help. So if you can bring them into it and just kind of educate them as you're going, just that team around you really helps. So yeah, I think it was definitely those things that helped me get through.
Yeah, I think it's so important to have a support system during those times, because
yeah.
you can only do so much on your own, but having the people who love you around you, like knowing what you're going through and helping you get through it, it's so important.
Yeah. And just like what you guys were saying, how you talked to each other about what was going on in your recovery. Mm-hmm. I would have people that I would talk like, hey, this is my knee's feeling like this. Like, is that normal? Or like, oh, I got my leg to go around the bike once. Like, can you celebrate with me? Like, just pulling people in. Like, yeah. honestly, right? Pulling people in and letting them be a part of it, because people want to celebrate with you. They want to help you through hard times. It's just we need each other. We need people. And I think that's one of the things that the ACL Club has brought, is just a place for people to feel like they're understood.
Love that.
Yeah. So can you actually talk more about the ACL Club? Like, what do you offer those who have gone through those injuries? Is it like a forum, or is it like, you know, you sell t-shirts?
Yeah. So kind of all those things. We have a Facebook group where everybody, you can join the Facebook group, and it's a closed group. So it's only people that have gone through ACL injuries, and you can talk to each other about whatever it is you want to talk about, right? Like whatever you're struggling with or celebrating. So it's just a safe space to have that forum type atmosphere. Our Instagram, like you guys, not quite as powerful as you guys, but our Instagram is definitely a place where, right, like these, where we can all connect. And one of the things I'm sure you guys feel that have this with soccer girl problems is people will reach out and then connect with each other. Mm-hmm. And so I really want our social to be just that, like a place where you can come and be social and comment and see that somebody else is maybe at the same stage as you and connect with them. And then build your own little mini ACL club off of that and support each other through the process. So that's what we offer socially. And then our website has a lot of different things. We have everything from gear, like you mentioned, just t-shirts. We have refocus bands, which help keep your brain in a place where you're constantly trying to stay positive and focused on the growth in the process. And then, so the gear is like to help you feel pride, like the pride of like, I'm going to get through this. I have people backing me, and to feel that support of the club throughout everything. And then my baby, and the thing that like I've always envisioned the ACL Club of having is this recovery course. So Shannon, you said it right away, right? This is mental. Like physically as athletes, we're like, give us the exercises. Tell us how much we can do. We want to do more physically. Like we're ready to push, push, push. But mentally, there's so many barricades and blocks in this process that I don't think people know how to navigate. So I've created this 6-month recovery course, which it's really cool because it's all online. And so it's always going to be growing and evolving. And I'm going to have more people, more sports psychologists and more sports performance people continuing to add content to it. But right now it's about 6 months and it helps you with those things. It has mindfulness training with Stuart Singer, who is a great sports psychologist, actually works with the Washington Mystics, who just won the NBA or WNBA championship. So he has about 14 sessions in this recovery course. I have various other sports psychologists and things that can help you through, like why journaling is important, special videos from different athletes just saying, like, I know what it's like to be at this 4-week point. I know what it's like to be at this 8-week point, and just them encouraging you as you go on. So, yeah, that's my baby, and that's the thing that I am so proud of, because I know that, that's what we need to have, right, is that mental recovery. So,
I love
that. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's been it's been so rewarding to see people go through it and find what works for them. Like, everything in there is not going to work for you.
Right.
I get that. That is totally fine. But if you connect with, like, Stuart Singer, reach out to him. Connect with him. Have him help you through the process. Like, that's what it's really all about. And it's a pretty good price point that, like, if you had 14 sessions with Stu Singer by itself, you're not paying $89, right? You're paying a lot. You're
paying a lot more.
Yeah, it's getting you all this content at a really reasonable price in order for us to feel like we're serving you in a way that we know is so necessary in this recovery.
Yeah. I have a question. Is it just for ACL, or can anyone with any kind of injury have a positive outcome from taking this?
Yeah, it's pretty, I think anybody could have, and that's the ultimate goal, right, for all of this, for can I create a little bit of a pathway to injury recovery that then I can, with ACL, since that's what I know, that then can, like, then go to whatever injury is people are dealing with. Because it really is the same mental roadblocks. There might be some wording in there that is ACL specific, but it doesn't mean that you can't do it and relate it to what's going on with you.
Yeah, still has the benefits of doing it for anyone. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah, when you mentioned the shirts, I remember when I did mine, you sent me a t-shirt, and I loved wearing it when I would go to PT, and, like, my physical therapist loved it. And it was cool just because when I was walking in the street, clearly something was wrong. And when I had the shirt on, people would be like, ah, you got this. But it was nice. And I love looking at your Instagram and just seeing, like the little moments of, like, how you had mentioned, like, pedaling once around the bike, like, to someone who isn't going through that, that might not mean something. But if you're going through it, or you have, like, that's such a big moment. So I think
you can feel it still, right? Like, the feeling of, like, your knee about to just, like, your skin about to rip. And you're like, I'm going to do it this time.
But it's
so true.
It's so good to celebrate those small wins, because that is what is going to get you through the entire recovery. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to go from, like, A to Z in overnight.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many ups and downs, and it's just so crucial to do that. So I think it's incredible what you're doing to support this community, because, I mean, unfortunately, the stats prove that women's soccer players are so prone to injury in general, but to ACL injuries.
Right.
I forget the stat.
Right.
I don't know, Jordan, I don't know if you know any stats, recent stats, but I think ACL injuries are, like, what?
Both
the most common, or
I think it's the most common that requires surgery.
Yeah,
yeah. So, you know, ankle sprains are probably still the most common injury, but ankle sprains, like, you don't always have to get a reconstruction. And I think that what's difficult about this is it's a long journey, right? Like, even an ankle injury can be 3 months, but you add, really, I there are so many things in that, right? Like, I think ACL recovery should, especially for younger athletes, should be a minimum 9-month recovery, minimum.
Yeah.
because the risk of re-injuring that ligament when you get past 8, 9, 10 months, every month it gets less and less and less. So I believe right now it's like women have a six times more likely to tear their ACL than men.
Wow. That's
so
crazy.
It's like, it's crazy. So like, I mean, if you had two men's teams, there would be one guy on the men, or two, a men's team and a women's team, there would be one guy on the men's team and six on the women's
team.
That's crazy. I think it's because of our hips, right? I think I read
there, somewhere. Yeah. There's so many things. Hip, like your hip knee alignment. There's hamstring strength inefficiency to quad strength. There's hormones. There are so many different things. And I think it's hard to like pinpoint exactly what it is, but I think that the one big thing that is helpful is some kind of risk reduction program. And that's one of the big things I'm working on in this like off season for me, is like implementing these risk reduction programs that we know work, but there's for some reason not being used.
I remember in high school having my uncle, who's a physical therapist, telling me, he gave me like a list of exercises to do to like help stabilize my knees. And I just thought like, this isn't going to happen to me. I'm not going to do this. And I think so many players, even though we know how common it is, still think like, oh, it's not me. It's not going to happen. But it's so important to do that before. Right.
Yeah,
for sure. It's a great mindset though. Right. Like we don't want to take that mindset away from
people. Right.
But if we can change that mindset from like, it's not going to happen to me, to like, if I do this risk reduction program, I'm actually going to get stronger.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get stronger. If I get stronger, I'm going to get faster. If I get faster and more agile, I'm going to be a better soccer player. I'm going to be on the field longer. So like turn it into a positive instead of trying to prevent a negative, because I'm very much in the boat. Like we play sports. Like we're not going to prevent injuries. That is not preventable. Mm-hmm. We can reduce the risk of injuries. Absolutely. Let's reduce the risk. Let's do everything we can. But like there are things that are out of our control. And so, I'm not going to tell you right now, like I can help you prevent your ACL from getting torn, but I can tell you, you can do things that at least you have the peace of mind saying like, oh, I did what I could. And like some things are out of my control, but at least I did my part.
Yeah. I think it's crucial to just be proactive and not so reactive. Yeah. And I think that's what the issue is. Like everyone, you know, you don't know what you have until it's gone. You react to your injury and then you have to deal with it. But instead, why don't we take an extra 10 minutes
about
to
it.
Be proactive and do a dynamic warm up and a cool down and all of that good stuff.
And I don't want people to join the ACL club. Like that's not my goal in this. Like, but I, with that reality of like, I can't prevent injuries, right? We just know that this is going to happen. And do I want it to happen half as much as it is right now? 100%. And I think that that is something that we can work towards. But I also know that there's going to still be people that do everything right, or still be people who tear their ACLs. And I need to make sure that they have people that understand where they're coming from and they feel supported when they're recovering.
Absolutely. What other, do you have any other tips for reducing the risk?
It's just really like treating your body like it's your tool, right? So if you go to a test, like say you're taking a test in school or even going to class at school, like if you don't do your homework, like you're not preparing yourself for...
I didn't do my homework. Damn.
Right? You're just not preparing yourself for the class.
Yeah.
So I think like treating it as if like, and a lot of players these days, like there's opportunities to play as a professional, which is amazing. So you have to treat your body like it is going to be something that is helping you achieve that goal that you want. So there has to be, you know, I think it's an education piece for players, for parents, for coaches, and for clubs to say, okay, we understand that if we do this 3 times a week for 15 minutes, it takes away from training. We get that. But we also get that if we do that, we're going to keep 5 players maybe from getting injuries throughout their career, and they're going to be on the field and they're going to be options for us to play, and our team is going to be better because of that. So we need to, not only do the parents and the coaches and the clubs need to protect the players and teach them how to empower themselves and take care of their bodies, but the players have to say like, I'm doing this for me because I want to be the best I can. Because, so I think it's a shift in the mindset, right? Like, warm up. It's not warm up anymore. It's like, okay, I'm prepping my body to be the best it can be.
Yeah, I love it. It's definitely something that I wish I did more of. Because I did, because when my team would take an extra 15 minutes to do the dynamic warm-up together, I would always be like, I just want to play. I just want to play. Like, you just want to rush into it.
Oh, we all do, right? Yeah. But, like, it's focusing. It's that same focus. And, like, when you're doing the warm-up, you have to be focused, right? Because landing technique, if you're doing, like, jumping and landing and learning new things there, or activation in your glutes and hamstrings, like, you have to make sure and learn that you're activating the right muscles. So when you do start, stop, when you do jump and land, that you're using your muscles properly in order to catch yourself when you're landing, or cut correctly, because you don't, like, you guys could probably attest to this, we don't learn about those muscles until we get injured, and then we're like, oh, that's my glute med, because it's on fire from doing all these, like, glute bridges or band exercises. And so teaching them just, like, what your muscles do, it's like education, and just empowering these players to say, like, this is your body. Like, it's your career, it's your life. Like, let's choose to do this together and create an environment where, like, we're really tapping into everything we can do to be better.
Yeah, definitely. I remember when we spoke, I think my thing was I was overworking, like, my body. Mm-hmm. I was just going from running to the gym to playing soccer, and I think that's something that a lot of young female athletes do, is just they're doing too much, and they think they have to do that in order to, you know, be successful. But it's more about knowing your body and treating it right, because you only do get one, right? So
yeah, when you guys asked me to do this, I wrote some things down that I want to talk about, and that was one of the things, is just listening to your body. Your gut and your intuition is there for a reason, and if you're, there's a difference between being tired and being exhausted. And you have to give yourself the space and the time to, like, be able to sit in those feelings and be like, okay, this is what it feels like to be tired. And I know I can go to training and I know I can do this. But, like, if I feel exhausted and worn down, like, I have to have the strength. And, like, this is a big culture thing, right? Like, I have to be able to say, like, I actually can't train today.
Yeah.
Like, I need a day off.
Yep.
Which is so hard for some people. Most of us.
So hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. But I think that's, if we can give, you know, a couple takeaways to everyone who's listening, like, I think that hopefully we can prevent, or, you know, lower the risk for a handful of people, right? So we did our job today. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh my gosh, thank you guys so much. This is a major soccer girl problem. We're doing our part to reduce it.
Yeah, and I hope any of our followers that have had ACL injuries will go to your Facebook group, because the Facebook groups are amazing, and people will ask questions that they would be afraid to ask to a bunch of people, but they'll feel comfortable asking them because they know people have been through the same stuff. So,
So guys, if they're part of the club, check you guys out. If they're not and they want to lower their risk, also check you out.
Yes. Thank you guys so much, and thanks for having me on. I just love what you guys are about, and happy to chat with you.
Awesome. Thank you, Jordan.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thanks so much, Jordan. I really appreciate it.
Great. Well, yeah, that was awesome. She's, right, like, so smart, and, like, you can tell her heart's really into what she does.
There,
right?
And, like, she's not
been there
BSing
three
you.
Times.
Yeah.
Seriously, it is amazing, though, how God or the universe, whoever you believe in, things happen for a reason. And I think she was meant to do this. She was
meant
to bring these people together and create a community where you guys can feel safe and ask for advice and help, which is hard for some people.
Yep.
So I think it's amazing. Great job, Jordan. Where was she when I tore my ACL?
I don't know. She was around when I did. I wish I saw. I wish I knew. But yeah, I thought that was great. So I think that's it for now. So just treat your bodies like temples, right?
Yeah. Be proactive. Exactly. That was one of the key takeaways.
Yep.
Put in the time to do your warm-ups and cool-downs and strengthening exercises.
Yep.
And if you don't know where to start, again, Jordan has all the resources.
That's
and
true.
We will come out with some blogs and stuff, too.
Yeah, we also have an ACL prevention course on our website, and we have bands. So easy
easy way to, you know, reduce your risk, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, you can bring those mini bands anywhere.
I do. I had some in my desk. Yeah. Remember when I used to stand up and do those? Like when I was really trying to not let my knee get hurt, I just would stand at my desk and do like,
it's so funny, but, and also it's just so easy. Like they're so little, just throw them in your bag,
yep.
Whip them out before,
whip
get
them
to,
out.
Get to practice 10 minutes early and just yeah. whip them out.
My eye.
And what else? That's all we have, right? The ACL injury prevention videos, the mini bands, and that's it.
Yep.
All that's right, it. Guys.
Well, we hope if you're in the club, hi. And if you're not, don't join.
The door is not open for you.
Yeah. All right, Lady Ballers, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.